the world through lust.
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Perhaps one of the greatest things that can be said about a person, though it's simple in its
statement,
is that he or she is a good person. And we throw that description around probably a little bit more readily than we ought, and so it lowers really its implications in our mind. But if somebody were to try to, you know, you come to a point where you're like, if you could just describe that person in one word, how would you describe them? And if you saw it and you thought, you know, you took a minute or two to just really think about the person, and it was somebody that was just stellar in just about every area that you could think about, one of the easiest ways to just bottle that all up would just be to say, and they're just a good person. When we look at this virtue, and I know it's kind of confusing because we're looking at a series called Essential Virtues, but we're coming to the one that's actually just plain virtue, it can be a little confusing, but that's really what Peter was trying to imply. So let's pray and ask God to bless the class time and to bless this lesson as we look into it together. Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together. And Lord, I pray for your blessings on the entire day. Thank you for everyone who's here this morning. Thank you for the blessing of a church. And Lord, I thank you for this truth. I pray you'd help me as I try to convey the depth of teaching that was bottled up in this one verse, in this one word. And Lord, I pray for your help. But Lord, more than just asking for your help for me, Lord, I ask for your help for all of us, that we could be people who would be virtuous. And I just ask for your blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, one of the most enduring symbols in all of our society is the symbol of a diamond. These stones have been sought after and have been studied more perhaps than any other stone. And as you look at it and you see a picture like that, or maybe you see one, as some of the girls in here could look down at their hand and see one that they just got maybe recently or a little bit ago now, but it's that day's getting a whole lot closer. And you can look down at that and you could think about some of those things. There's a lot of factors that go into that diamond that makes it beautiful. If you look at it, there's the four C's of grading a diamond, and those would be clarity, color, carat, and cut. And you could look at each one of those, and you could study them endlessly. I was looking, just doing a little bit of reading, just so I could talk about this for a second at the beginning of our lesson. And as you do that, you could read endlessly on any one of those. And certain diamond sellers will emphasize maybe one over the other. One of those C's is what really makes a diamond stand out as opposed to the other ones. And they'll maybe have on their website a description that focuses all on one, and then some of them will be a little bit more broad. But all of those aspects or facets are wonderful in and of themselves. And you could think about the cut of a diamond. You know, you got its shape and just how it was made and all of those things. Or you could think about how clear it is, or its clarity. There's no inclusions and imperfections inside of it, or they're limited. And you can hardly see anything, because what makes a diamond most beautiful if it has no color and there's nothing inside of it. I mean, it is just pure. You could look at its clarity. You could look at all of those different aspects, and you could spend a lot of time thinking about every one. But it's when you bring them all together that you get the big picture of the quality of the diamond. What we see when we just glance at the diamond is a sum of all of the parts. All of the facets all together, adding together to convey the brilliance of the diamond. And it is true not only of diamonds, but also of the qualities of the Christian life. Virtue is, to the rest of the attributes that we will study, like the quality of a diamond is to a jeweler. when you look at virtue, you're looking at everything all together that makes a life stand out. It's the big picture. Now, you could take it apart and you could see every one of the other facets, every one of the other attributes. And every one of them is beautiful in its own right. But you take them and you group them together, and that's what you see when you look down at that girl's hand, and it's just beautiful. It's a quality life. That's what virtue is in our lives. And so when Peter was writing to the believers to whom he did, and I talked about that last week, this was just, it's a general epistle, so it was not directed to one specific church, but even those would have obviously their general properties, but there was no true one group at one geographical location that Peter was writing to. He was just writing a letter to everybody all at once. And at the end of his life, he embeds this list. And like I said last week, we can go by a list very fast in our Bible reading. You know, add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness. And, you know, in like, I don't know, 10 seconds, we're done. But, you know, when Peter wrote virtue the first time when he was writing this letter, it was a loaded statement. And so our lessons over the next few weeks are about unloading the statements. And so we're trying to slow down a little bit as we go throughout it. And so one of our goals throughout the next few weeks is just to define these words. So when you read by this, you can understand a little bit better what it was that the author and God, obviously as the true author of the Bible through those human penmen, what he was trying to say. And so let's define it real quick so that we can understand this. So I've got 4 points this morning of just some simple concepts for us to look at. And so the first thing that we need to understand is the definition of virtue. What is it that Peter was saying? Now, virtue is one of those qualities that as you begin to study it, it's one of those attributes that as you begin to look at it, you really quickly understand that there's a lot that could be said. And as I was reading about it, temperance is a little bit easier. I'll tell you today, and I'll tell you when we get to it, temperance basically means self-control. Virtue is a little bit harder to make one simple statement about it. But there are three words that are implied in the quality of virtue. And then there's a lot more that I'll say underneath each one of them. But the three words are perfection, pursuit, and purpose. Somebody or something that is virtuous is something that if you were to take those three words apart, you would begin to quickly understand a little bit more about it. And so let's do that. The perfection that is implied in virtue is what is basically comes right out of the word itself. The word virtue means moral excellence or preeminent estimation. It is a summary virtue by which I gave that statement at the very beginning that basically means it's just good, period. No qualifications needed. No, well, in this instance, somebody or something that is virtuous is something that is absolutely excellent. It's perfect. And that would be probably the more common biblical word to describe what a person of virtue would be like. You know, the word virtue is only used 5 times in the Bible. And Peter uses 3 of them here in this book. And Paul uses it 1 time. If you remember the list that Paul gives when he's telling us what type of things to think on. He says, think on these things. And he goes on at the end of it, says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. It's the only time Paul uses the word. But the quality or the attribute of virtue is one of the most discussed qualities in classical Greek literature. Basically, if a person in the classical Greek period of time, so around this period of time, wanted to describe the perfect type of person, the best quality that a person could have, they would have said that they were a person of virtue. A person that was upstanding, that was perfect in their moral character, somebody that would perform all the right things at all the right time, that would always do right, that was courageous enough to do it, that had the valor that would be necessary to see those things through. So I think you can see just with some of that, and obviously I'm just kind of throwing a lot on you there. Virtue is a pretty big thing. And so what Peter did, and this happens a lot of times throughout the New Testament, when he's writing, and obviously God writing through him, he says, first and foremost, like we talked about last week, you have to have faith. Remember I said last week that all the rest of these without faith is pointless. Faith gives all these qualities a true purpose. But going on from there, the first thing Peter said is, be a person of virtue. Because if you are, all of these other things will come. That's what I mean when I say that virtue truly is, it's the spark, but it's also the summary of all the rest. And so as this list goes, like I told you last week, it is a simultaneous and yet sequential list. I mean, they all have to go in order, but they all are feeding off one another. And so you may start your journey of faith with a desire and a dedication and a drive to be virtuous, but it's actually going to help you to develop the others, which in turn will perfect your morally excellent character. And so Peter is really trying to say a lot in a short amount of time. Perfect. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse number 37, to mark the perfect man and behold the upright man. For the end of that man is peace. I want to take you to Psalm 112. If you can flip there quick in your Bible, if you just want to listen. I won't read the whole thing just because we don't have a lot of time left. But Psalm 112 talks about that type of man. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. It's talking about the perfect man, the man that God blesses. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And since we're almost at the end, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. A perfect man. It's hard to convey in 5 minutes all that would be in that. And when I say man, obviously it's hard for me to caveat all the time. Man or woman, and all, but apply it to your own gender, okay? And so, but a perfect person, a virtuous, a upright, a righteous, a good, a moral person. That's what Peter was saying, to be. So it implies or it contains the element of perfection. But virtue also speaks of its purpose. You know, something is only considered excellent if it fulfills its purpose. If I have a knife in my pocket and it needs to be sharpened in a bad way, all right? But this knife right here that I have, if it did not cut, which the other day it did not very well for me, all right? I was trying to open a box and I was like, man, I've got to take some time to sharpen this thing. But it still cut eventually, right? You know, I only had to swing it real. But if a knife does not cut, it's not excellent. If an iPad like mine, if I overcharge my iPad, it takes like 4 days to turn back on. So you know what I was doing this morning at my desk? I was reading my Bible and I was trying to get my iPad to turn on so I could teach from it, you know? But if an iPad does not turn on, it's not excellent. I want to throw it away most of the time when I do that. And so it's pretty old. And so, but if this chair does not hold you, Jordan, it didn't fulfill its purpose. It's certainly not an excellent chair. excellence implies the fulfillment of its purpose. A virtuous person is perfect in their moral integrity, character. They are fulfilling the purpose that they are there for. And they are pursuing all of those things to the end that they can pursue them to. And so when you look at it, this quality says you are committed to being a virtuous person, and you are going to continue trying to exercise virtue in every area of your life. And so virtue really is set at the beginning because it's a decision that you make now that you are to follow through with all throughout the rest. And that's why you must start with the determination to be a virtuous person. So when you come to the moment of needing to exercise temperance or patience or brotherly kindness, you are going to fulfill the decision that you made. So it is both a decision now and a follow through then. Virtue touches every area of your life every single day. So it is a pursuit. Now, I want you to see something real fast as we really just kind of try to bring this all together. I want you to understand a little bit about what I mean when I say the drive for virtue. If you have, once again, if you want to turn there, you can. But Philippians chapter number 3 gives us what I believe is one of the clearest statements of what it means to have a drive for virtue. A heart that is yearning for what is right. Philippians chapter number 3, verse 9, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking. We'll start in verse number 10. He says, this is his desire, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though, here's the clear statement of this desire to be what he ought to be. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying in this moment, or he is depicting for us in this moment what it means to have a drive for what is right. And so I ask you to think about your Christian life. And I ask myself to think this as well. Am I that driven? He says, I am seeking to apprehend. And I've talked probably to some of you about this. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the past, but I am seeking to apprehend that for which I am apprehended. I am going after him in the same manner that he came after me. That's the drive that virtue implies. And so that's what it takes to be a person of virtue. That's what we're striving for. It's the wonderful thing about the Christian life. It is a life of striving for what God has set out before you. And he knows that you're going to trip, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall along the way, but you're supposed to get back up because you're going to keep on trying. Just like we were playing football yesterday and I'd miss a flag and you know, we'd inevitably try to get it. And if you're trying to play flag football, and then, I mean, those flags will slip through your hand and you'll just miss it and you'll grab someone's shirt instead of the flag. And you just keep trying and you keep trying and you keep trying. Unless Noah's running out towards the end of the field and you just let him run all the way and he just comes back, all right, because no one's catching him, all right? Hey, but you're going to keep going after that thing. That's what Paul is trying to depict for us here. And then there's the directions for virtue. And just kind of, these are major points, but I'm just kind of tapping them as we come near to the end here. The directions for virtue are really embodied in one person. Virtue speaks of Christ's perfection of moral character in living life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." You know what virtue really is? We'll backtrack a little bit. You know what real moral excellence and integrity of character really is? Christ-likeness. Christ was the perfect man. So virtue is being like Christ. I didn't want to say that too early because I think sometimes that's another one of those terms that we can say and not really think of all the depth of it. But being like Christ or Christ-like in all of your interactions, in all of your motivations, in all that you do, in all that you think, in all that you say, that's virtue. Christ was the perfect, virtuous man when he lived on this earth. And so implied in this is become like Christ. You know, the wonderful thing is you and I can't do that. Except that we've already read in 2 Peter chapter number 1, it says earlier on that we have obtained, it says in verse number 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." His righteousness has been imputed to us. That's where we start. So that can then be developed in us, practically speaking, positionally and then practically. And so God is giving us a new life, and then he's trying to develop in us a new character. And that character is modeled after Jesus Christ. And that's why we're supposed to know him and study him. And that's why all throughout this book, Peter says that it is through the knowledge of him that we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And over again. And that's the next one. It's amazing. You know, we go from virtue to, if you read verse number 5 again, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And so that's what it leads to. And the goal, the display that virtue puts on. You know, you should not strive to be good so that people think good of you. The reason to be virtuous is because it shows the world who Christ is. Because if you're developing in Christ-like character and you are standing up for what's right, you're doing what's right in all of those settings, in a dark world, you know, we've heard the phrase, the darker the night, the brighter the light. When you act like Christ in a dark and dying world, it's not so people think, "Wow, man, you're a great person." Now, they might say it that way, but always be careful to deflect the why. And this is what it says here in one of these verses. Verse number 3, one more time, and this is where we're going to close. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, to Christ's likeness, that we might display the glory of God to the world around us." So that's the first one after faith. I think Peter had a whole lot that he intended to communicate through this. So let's pray and ask God to help us. And as I pray, make the decision. Lord, help me to be that diamond, all of it together, displaying the brilliance of the character of Christ for the world that I'm in. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be together this morning. Lord, I pray for your blessings. Help us to be modeled after your perfection, to be living the way that you intend. Lord, help us to drive for it. Help us to follow your steps. Help us to be what you want us to be so that people can see what they need to see through us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here. Reminder, those cups back there, there's one for everybody. Take one as you go. And if you say, "I don't want to manage that," slip back down here afterwards or find one somewhere else. But take that as you go. We're thankful to have had you here. Sign up for the activity if you can come this Friday. And that sign-up sheet is back there as well.